watching Vesuvius. Because of everything that's been going on around, because of what's happening with the Ring of Fire, they are getting the activities, and it's there. And you have to also remember, when you do Mount Etna, it's the temperature's in the freezing. So when you leave to go on the tour, you're going to be cold when you get up there, because you're down below and you're climbing. So and the other thing is to watch is altitude sickness.
That's like that's the one, the same thing in Maui. Same situation. When you go up to the top, you're going to freeze.
and Hawaii right now, that's all closed still. So, but like Palermo doesn't have five-star hotels. You have to go to the different Sotomino, which is on the other end of the island, which is towards the boot, which is where I told you Lipari islands are.
Right.
But it's full of great architecture. So if anybody's into that, it's crumbling, but it's 18th century palaces. You know, and you got the perfect mix of food. And it's a regional cuisine, so it's eggplant, you know, and spaghetti with sardines. You know, so you got to kind of like, it's all seacoast town, you know, that you travel through.
Sure.
And that's the best way. If you're an adventurous person and you're willing to drive, that's the way to discover Sicily.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get stuck there. Don't forget, they got Greek and Roman ruins like Syracuse, and they got 4th century mosaics at the Villa Romana, Romano del Castile in Etna. Etna is another little town, Argento. That's the Greek ruins rival those of Athens. You don't have to go to Greece. You can see them all in Sicily. Seriously.
You know,
if you wanted to go there, that would be to go. Oh, Ragusa is a UNESCO World Heritage Site for Baroque architecture. People who are hikers go to Mount Etna. You know, it's got an ancient clifftop town. It's got a Greek theater. They put a live show on in the town up there on top of Mount Etna. So they have a lot of destinations. It's a little warmer because it's down and, you know, it stays warmer. So you can go in September and October and visit and be comfortable. And the crowds aren't there. So you can go April and May before June 15th. And after September 15th, you got less people to deal with, you know. So you got to kind of plan it. And I would never take it, try to do Rome in a week or any of the towns in a week. It's just not possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Sistine Chapel now, everybody has to go. I would always do a private tour for that and the Vatican. And it's worth the money to spend that so you're not with the crowd. You know, you really get to know the history of that area, you know. And then you got Trastevere. It's a district of narrow cobblestone streets south of Vatican City. It's on the opposite side of the Tiber River, and it has very famous landmarks that nobody knows about, you know. You can go to the original Olympic ruins. There's a new stadium where they always play the soccer game.
Right.
But outside of the town, there is an Olympic stadium that we have gone to. You think you're in Greece. It's really very unique situation, you know. We went there. It's like, it's just something, you know. And then you can go up north. Now, Trieste is a town outside of Venice. It's also where you land with the airport and you take the train to travel throughout Italy. And then you, as you head up, you go where, I don't know, my family knows it's Bergamo and Brescia. And you have the Ferrari company has the museum up there that you could go through and see about, check out all the Ferrari cars.
Oh my. Wow.
If you're in.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Bye. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good afternoon. Happy August 1st. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. I'm just going to give you an update on the weather forecast. Let's see what they've got going here. This afternoon, showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm before 3 p.m., then showers and thunderstorms likely after 3. Some of the storms could produce heavy gust winds and heavy rain. Basically, it's going to be about 50% chance of 60% chance of rain. Tonight, chance of showers and thunderstorms again, mainly before 2 a.m., low about 72. Showers and thunderstorms likely after 1 tomorrow on Thursday. Again, the highs near 87. Showers and thunderstorms again on Thursday night, mainly before 2 a.m., mostly cloudy, the low around 72. Friday, showers and thunderstorms likely mainly after 2, mostly cloudy with a high near 85. Continuing on Friday night, showers and thunderstorms before 2 a.m., mostly cloudy, the low 70. And then a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny with a high of 85 on Saturday. Mostly cloudy with a low around 68. And then Sunday, chance of showers again and thunderstorms after 2 p.m., partly sunny with a high of 89. So that's our weather forecast. Welcome to the show. Thanks for watching and listening in on Talented People here streaming live from the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce radio station. And welcome our guest, Bart Jackson. You've met him and seen him many times on the show over the years. He's a publisher. He's the host of the Art of the CEO radio show. And he's just penned a new book, one of many of his, in his days of traveling to more than 75 countries around the world. But also, he is here today to talk about the new book, The CEO of Yourself.
Jeannie, thanks so much for having me on.
Pull that down a little bit there, Bart. Let's see, so we can hear you a little better. Whoa. We can hear you loud and clear.
It goes to show that there you go. You do business, that you expect failure.
Right.
So I want to know, thank you very much for having me on, Jeannie, because if there is anyone who is CEO of herself and who takes what fate gives her and turns it around and handles it her own way, it is certainly Jeannie Murphy.
Aww. Thank you. Thanks, Bart. No, I've really, really, really been so excited about this book because, I mean, for 10 years now, we've worked together, known each other, and I've read all your books, and I love them all. Mm-hmm. But when you said you were going to do the CEO of yourself, because there's the Art of the CEO, we can talk all about the other books, but I just want you to know that this is a highly anticipated book because it's like you're just walking along with the reader and sharing such information about being the CEO of yourself. So tell us a little bit about you first for those who have never seen you or met you before on the show.
Well, I am, as Jeannie has mentioned, I am a writer, and I'm sort of a bon vivant traveler. I used to say that I was a writer who gets out a lot. I spent so much of my life traveling around, listening to other people. I listened to explorers and entrepreneurs and business leaders, and I would say my whole goal always is to find their own art of accomplishment, how they do what they do, and a little bit of why. And this is what's made it such fun. I found out by talking to these people who, when I say players, I don't mean people like the Dalai Lama necessarily. I don't mean people who are heads of state, although I have interviewed all of those. It may be a reindeer herder in Mongolia, but these are people who are doing something and who have taken charge of their life. And I started the Art of the CEO radio show, and I would always put this little bit in about how you are the CEO of yourself, which is really the most important position you'll ever hold in your career. So will this be the day that you, and then I would say, dust off your dreams, isn't it time, or something like that. And so that's really what set me all on this, to watch people who have done something and are doing something and saying, you know, there is a pattern, there's a way that everyone can grab hold of that dragon and ride that tail.
So much fun. So let's go back for a second when you talk about the Art of the CEO, because then people can understand that you're right. Celebrating, like, is it how many shows now?
Oh, gosh, we're coming up on 250.
250 shows.
Yes.
With CEOs around the world I mean, amazing people. I love your show. It's so entertaining. And tell people about how they can go about listening and tell us about a couple of the guests you've had
on. Well, we're on several radio stations and a whole host of internet streams, of which I can't possibly remember. But the easiest way to find us is theartoftheceo.com. That's theartoftheceo.com. You can download all the shows we have there. And we have all kinds of people. We have a lot of CEOs, the CEO of Wawa and NASDAQ and Google we've had and so forth. But we also have people who are in so many ways and are players. We've had orchid growers. We've had a fellow who was a seventh generation oyster fisherman. And
that's so cool.
Who literally slipped through the tide. We have had the archaeologist of the world's most successful pirate's ship. And he told us all about
how to make money as a pirate. Must be to talk to these people. Yeah.
And I found out two different things on the show, by the way. First of all, in the old days, you could go out and make money as a pirate by getting a good ship that was good and fast. Nowadays, on another show, I talked to a fellow who had a huge transportation business. And you know these big container ships that you see stacked up on the water? They're 2,000 containers. You know how they get rid of pirates?
How?
They outrun them. If you can believe it, those huge ocean-going ships literally can outrun the fastest cigarette
loaders.
So you see these in the movies, these guys there's with the machine guns. They can't catch them for nothing.
Oh, my God. That's fascinating. It's funny because they still have to learn how to, like, beat the opponent. Back from the, like, days of guns and swords, and now you're talking high-speed boats.
Yeah,
same problem still exists,
yes,
right?
The same problem. And we still, by the way, piracy is really still a huge industry. But yeah. That's not what I came here to talk about today.
I know. You just want everybody to know. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. Thanks so much for watching in here on Hunter and Chamber Radio. And my guest, if you recognize him, again, his name's Bart Jackson. He's a very dear friend, but he is a mover and shaker in the CEO world. He's been doing this for years, and he has several books out. He's a publisher. He hosts the Art of the CEO radio station, and he has his new book out called The CEO of Yourself. So we're going to go to our quick break, and then it's very, very quick. Stay with us for a second, and then Bart's going to bring us all in on the book. So, again, thanks for listening. Stand by.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Sabía que de cada cinco personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
All right, welcome back to the show here. Bart Jackson's talking to us about his book, brand new, The CEO of Yourself. Mm-hmm. All right, tell us more about the book.
Well, you know, I kept seeing as I was writing about various people and interviewing them, and I absolutely love interviewing people because almost everybody has a really good story to tell, no matter where you go. And I kept seeing that these people sort of were getting what they wanted out of life. And I thought about this, and I thought about so many of the people I know who say they just know there's a richer life out there. All of us, so many of us feel that there's this great party going on and we haven't been invited to it, and that everyone else is out there, and our media sort of pushes this out of this. So I thought about this and I said, you know, the whole difference between the people who seem to be headed toward where they want to go and the people who are sort of falling into default mode, it's a matter of choice. The choices are yours. I saw that people were not taking the choices that were available to them in their life because A, they didn't know that they had choices, and B, they didn't know that those choices were theirs to make. They didn't see what was up. And every single thing that comes at you is a choice. And this is why I took the model of the CEO that stands for Chief Executive Officer. Mm-hmm. We really all are the Chief Executive Officer of the enterprise of ourselves. And I know that sounds sort of highfalutin.
No, I love it. I completely, and I was loving your channel. I was like right on with you when you were talking about some people just like don't know why they weren't invited to the party. And then when you were talking about it, it's almost like, well, hello everybody out there. It's an open party. Yeah. You're welcome to come. But you have to make the decisions and open up and know that you're invited in the first place. RSVP.
That is so true. It really is. What is that? Marvelous line from Annie Mame. Life is a banquet, and most poor devils are starving
to death.
And it is true, but the terrible thing about it is
he falls off the side of the mountain. I love that.
Right.
He's chasing the fox.
It is available to our. And you know what was funny? When we started doing this book, we took this huge survey of hundreds and hundreds of people and asking them what they wanted that just wasn't happening in their life. And we got a whole myriad of answers, as you might expect. But one thing that struck me, they came very rapidly. The minute I asked somebody, within 10 seconds, they said, you know what I'd really like? And that really struck me, that people have these yearnings, and they're right there in the front of the old cerebrum. They want them. And so I asked, and they came out. Some of them were expected. One of them said, you know, what I really like, I'd like some respect from the people that I work with, the people that I act with. I'd like them to listen to my words and pay attention. Now, that's something that some people were more physical.
I like that.
Or sort of more tangible, I guess I should say. They said, what I really like is to get out and find some adventure, do some high rock climbing in Tibet, do something that will set my soul and body aspart. One of my favorites, and this is of
that's cool.
Of
them, I love listening to this kind of stuff. Hearing feedback from surveys is interesting.
My very favorite was, he says, you know what I want? I want to wake up happy. You know what I mean? I want to be there in the shower singing and bellowing out songs that are going to make my teenage daughter crimson with embarrassment.
That's adorable.
That's
awesome. Yeah.
That's what we want.
Like the Zest commercial, if they even make that soap anymore. Remember, it used to be awesome.
Yes,
I want it just to be like a zestful moment,
and
right?
And can't you just see the 14-year-old going,
and it's just like, you know, and the, yeah. That's a great thing to want to do.
That's why God made 14-year-old daughters.
Yeah, I like that.
though. It's almost like, you know, seriously, that's a really good thing. So what exactly was the question that you asked where you got that answer?
Oh, the question was, I said, what would you like to do or what would you like to have happen in your life that isn't happening now?
Ah, okay.
And so, in other words, what do you really want?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't ask, what do you want to be? Be is an intransitive verb. That means it sits still on the counter, a lot like too many people on a couch. I asked active verbs. What do you want to do? What do you want to have happen? And
I like the way that the one person answered about being respected.
Mm-hmm.
The other one wants to like sail across the universe because he probably doesn't do as much outdoors because he's not allowing himself the VIP pass.
Someone said, I want really to spend more time in my garden, maybe plant a small vineyard. I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah.
And
so then what did you tell him? How did we do it?
I said, my wife's husband planted a vineyard, and I got to tell you, it's more cotton-picking work than you want, kid.
I remember
anyway,
that.
Mm-hmm. We have our own wine, Chateau Bonchance, which we make, and you've had.
It's delicious. I'm a wine lover.
Just like Mother used to drink. And anyway, the thing that made it such fun was to know that the people had these. And I think that most of us fall into what I call default mode. A situation comes our way. I'm going to give you a few situations, and you tell me if you've ever heard any of this. Oh, well, I have to get up at 5:45 to make it into work because the boss wants us all there at 8:30. Or, I'm so sorry, I have to leave now just when the party's really getting started and we're really having fun. But my wife, mommy, priest, pet, whatever, says, must be stalking the floor by now, so I'd better get home. And I can't come Tuesday because Johnny has a soccer practice and they want all the mothers to be there, and so forth and so on. All this sort of stuff, in others, we put obstacles.
Yeah, like limits on ourselves.
Now think about that for a moment. Someone says, I have to be there Tuesday. Mom, have you actually asked Miss Soccer Mom if little Johnny wants you pestering over his shoulder?
I say that to my mother all the time.
Right.
She's booked all the time doing things and she doesn't want to do them. Yeah. And then I say to her, Mom, nobody cares if you don't come this day. We see you every day. I mean, she has this thing where she feels she has to do this all the time for other people, and she doesn't realize people are happy to love to see her, but if she doesn't, nobody's complaining. It's just relax.
You know, it's a very good point, Judy. We build up obligations in our head. We build up routines. And so let me just ask. I'm going to ask everybody out there now, how much of what you did yesterday is part of a routine that you did because you feel you had to do it, and how much of it was something that you designed and did yourself to achieve a goal that you set up for yourself? And there shows how you spend your time.
Exactly.
And
doing the same thing, the vicious circle, hamster on the treadmill type thing.
Right.
People just are used to doing everything the same way, and they just do it every day the same way.
Yeah.
And then how would you have time to start to parasail or do something unless you try to stop the pattern, right?
Yeah. I think this is it. You know, when I looked at, when I took the title CEO of yourself, what I was...
I love that title.
It's a mark. Well, first of all, I'm asking people to operate themselves as if they were an entrepreneur setting up an enterprise, the enterprise of you. And the great thing about Chief Executive Officer is that he is not the dictator. Every CEO has a board. And the way I put it for yourself, fate sits on your board chair and hands down to you the circumstance of what happens. Beethoven goes deaf. John Ciola puts out something on the internet as a lark and has 1,000 orders before he can even invent a product. Things go up, things go down. Jeannie and Jan Murphy start a business with golf gloves. They're selling them a mile a minute, and then all of a sudden, the endorser, the head golf pro, we won't even mention this, in the middle of the open, rips off the golf clubs, throws them down, stamps on them, curses them, and the profits stop from that very hour.
And the cameras were zoomed right in. zoomed right in on his hand. And we're like, oh my God, look at that. He goes, it was our fault that he missed. The PGA has actually
banned the Murphys from any sports events. It's really very sad.
What a memory.
But anyway, yeah, but
fate is on our boards.
But as a CEO, you have to, you take what's handed to you. You take the directives from the board, and you make the best venture out of it you can. One of the things that made this book, and I don't think I've ever said this on any air or in the writing, when I wrote this book, I was in the process of having 8 surgeries within the year and a half of its writing. It was an incredible series of things that happened. And I won't go into what they are because, no, frankly, Scarlett, nobody gives a... But it's it shows that you just have... That things do happen to you. They're going to happen to you. You go ahead. And I think we all get lulled from the media. You know, you get handed these glossy stories that tell you that Josephine just started her website and has 350 million people coming in. They don't tell you that she borrowed 150 grand from dad to get the website set up.
Right.
This is an actual story.
No, it is. It's probably one of your guests on the show,
and
right?
It's all glossy. It's all wonderful. And they have you believing that it just takes gumption and so forth. This isn't so. Things happen to people. And for every older athlete who crosses the line running a marathon, there are dozens of people who have trained all their lives, have worked very hard, and have injuries that don't happen. This happens, but it's what can you do with this? And so what I want to talk about next is Jeannie Murphy's favorite chapter of the book.
Okay. Yes.
It's called Your Marvelous Self. And let me just put it this way. You're starting an enterprise. You want to get something together. You're not going to work for a company that you don't think much of. And I'm saying that, you know, if you don't really think that you're pretty marvelous, either you're not looking hard enough, you're looking in the wrong rooms of your house, or you're under the shadow of somebody else who has a fantasy. And I think that you really do have a wonderful things, but I'll tell you, and this is the essence, the parts, the elements of yourself are the most important. Kevin Manchur,
okay,
makes $1 million stock trades. He's a floor trader. And I asked him, I said, Kevin, what makes an institution or an investor plunge 1 million shares into a company or draw 100 million out or a million shares out? And he says, I've been in this business 28 years and it is always, always, always the management, the people running the show.
Right.
He said, it's not what they've done. It's not the product they're making now. It's not the label. It's not the trend. It's what I see they can do. And this is all I'm saying about your marvelous self.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like you to just take a tour of the factory.
Yes, let's do it.
Take a tour of it. Walk around yourself and see what you've got. Now, you take someone like Jeannie. Jeannie has an immense, overflowing imagination that she has somehow harnessed into ideas to help other people's ventures get going.
Aww.
You sit there and you talk, and this is something that she's got. So it's a part of it is training, but it's a strength, but it's also the idea of the reaching out to help people to come up with ideas. That's what I call a proclivity. That's something that she tends to do, something she enjoys doing, something that Jeannie reaches out and will plunge into and forget what time it is.
Yes.
And that's what it is. And then she also, you have interests. You have the many things that you sort of lean toward. All these are things that you have to list. Now, I'm not saying make a list, and I do not say put them down into one skill set as if there's only one thing that you can do. You can only market, you know, you can only computer tech. The word for a single mission in your life is manure. You are far too grand. everyone is far too grand for that. You have more ideas and imaginations than the years allotted your span are going to allow you to do. It's filled up there. So what I'm saying, I'm just asking that you take a tour of the factory. See,
I love that.
If I'm going to buy this business, if I'm going to buy a business, I take a tour of the factory. I list all the assets. I do what they call due diligence. That is, I find every single asset going in that business. And that's what you really need to do in your marvelous self.
As to the point, yeah, being the CEO of yourself in the chapter, your marvelous self. So what happens when you're going through the tour and you find all these underutilized assets, which is awesome because you could do that in your garage. I love that, finding things. Mm-hmm. So what do you do when you find some things that you know you could improve on?
Well, that's the whole thing about it is that you have an interest, mm-hmm. and you find you can say you're really good with numbers, and you haven't really worked that into, say, doing computer algorithms yet, but you have that interest and you like it and you could go with it. That's where cultivation becomes.
Okay.
And that's where you go and you do what I call the broccoli moments. Broccoli is one of these things that's marvelous for you, but isn't always the tastiest thing in the world. You'd much rather eat a donut. So, broccoli moments are the cultivating of what you want to do. Every single NFL pass that is tossed by a quarterback and reaches across the goal line and the man pulls it up, the end pulls it up, snags it down, and does the touchdown dance, that's all great and glorious. Every single one of those passes has been preceded by thousands, tens of thousands of push-ups and weightlifting and drills that have cultivated all of that.
Sure.
That's the broccoli moments. Yeah. And that's what we all go through to improve.
Right.
My God.
So tell us more about some of the other chapters in the book. Like, tell us how was the book laid out?
Well, the book is really laid out. It tells about what the CEO is, and it talks a bit about the business method. And it moves on from after you've taken the tour of yourself and your marvelous self and toured the factory.
I love that. I really do.
What are you going to do with all you pull up all the assets, and then you start creating your product, which is yourself. And this is a sort of a duality here, because the product you create is yourself, and it's also your goals, that is, what the things you want to do. You do want to take that high mountain climbing trip to Tibet, make the garden, earn respect of your friends. You want to do all that, but you also have to build yourself into the character who can do that.
How?
And that's where the training, mm-hmm. and the cultivating, seeing where it comes in. And there's also another thing. I'm going to stick to one of the later chapters in the book.
Okay.
And that is enlisting aid. You have to cultivate your staff. And these are all the people around you who want to help you. And think about it.
Totally agree. Yes.
What do you think, Jeannie? Are there more people who want to help you than want to hurt you?
Absolutely. And it's so funny because, like, people just don't feel like they can ask. It's just unusual. Because, I mean, I'm seriously, like, I'm an asker.
Because yeah.
He knows that.
Oh, are you?
No, I wasn't always an asker. So I get the non-askers because I was a non-asker. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that people around just love to help. And all I have to do is let them know if I need something. Yeah. And then it just, like, takes everything off the plate. It's just, you know what I mean? It's just meaning. You know, sometimes people get overwhelmed. A lot of times, I mean, I have one of my friends who actually has come over and helped me dust my house when I had the pup back. You know what I mean?
Right.
Asking for help. I like it. Okay. Cultivating your staff. Tell us more.
And, you know, that you want, there are people there mm-hmm. who are.
And I like helping other people too.
Yeah.
So I love it when people ask for help.
And most people do. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we always forget is that Homo sapiens, this year's species, is by nature, they're really bad as predators, and they're bad at prey. They've got, you know, man has very few defenses against other animals. He hasn't got claws. He hasn't got a beautiful beak like the heron to take
gather
food. He cannot run with the speed of a cheetah. As a matter of fact, we're pretty lousy when it comes to catching almost anything.
That's cool.
And, but what is it that we do? And it's using our brain. Well, the brain, again, sits on your desk like the couch, and like the couch potato. No, mankind has something that's unique. It is an endless restlessness. We are makers. We are doers. We are creators. We can't sit still. Idleness really gets us, and we don't like to be there. We want to be making something. We want to be doing something.
That's really, and, really, really interesting.
And
you're right. I just can't. I'm picturing what you're saying about just the animals and the prey and the comparisons to being, you know, CEO and competitor, and I want to beat you out. And I mean, that's not top of the list. The top of the list is I want to make something really cool, and I want to make something really cool in my life by the time I die.
Right. This is it. I think, and you just touched on something that I'm really glad you brought up, because the whole deal is, I would say, probably the very best recipe that I know of for an absolutely miserable life is to begin by comparing yourself with your coworkers.
Right.
And compare yourself with your classmates and people the same age.
Mm-hmm.
And then read all those glossy business magazines about high achievers and what they've done. And look at that and say, oh, this is where I should be. Why aren't I there? You know, I come home and I'm a hedge fund worker, and I have been building up these huge funds for my financial company. And at the end of the year, they give me a $100,000 bonus. I am thrilled. I'm fabulous. I'm great. All of a sudden, I find out that Joe over in the next office got $200,000. Oh. I'm inconsolable. My wife is patting my head and feeding me scotch. And are you kidding me?
Right.
This is, comparison is a bloody kiss of death.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, you are different than everyone else. And there is no level playing field. All right, so you're 37 and a half years old. And she is 37 and a half years old. The point that you should be... have somehow achieved the same thing, and you probably have achieved other things in different ways that they haven't. And it's this singularity of putting ourselves into slots and then comparing ourselves as if we're in a race. You know,
I'm all about it. Okay, we're talking. Everybody out there, this is Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. My guest is Bart Jackson. He's the host of the Art of the CEO radio show with over 250 different CEOs and individuals from around the world talking about just maximizing yourself, how they got to where they are, and then the new book just is out called The CEO of Yourself. And it's just, I find it one of the best books I've ever read. I'm so excited about it because you're talking to so many people you've interviewed over the years. Mm. And in the book, you're sharing it with the person just to develop, like you said, stop. I need to not compare myself to others. I got to look at it like, here's a beautiful flower garden and everyone's beautiful in it and everyone's different. And now what am I going to do with me?
And that's the whole point. You are going to grow your own way,
mm-hmm.
as well as fate allows. And
I love that. When he says fate is on the board of the CEO of yourself, mm-hmm. absolutely true.
One aspect of the book, you asked about other chapters, and there's two elements we bring up in here that are very, very old-fashioned. And one of them is character,
mm-hmm.
and the other is principles.
Okay.
Now, principles, everyone says, well, have you no principles? What are your principles? Principles are those beliefs that by which you govern your life, that you take to your dear heart, hold, and use them to govern your actions.
Give us an example.
And I'll give you, all right, a perfect one. Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson.
Okay.
Thomas Jefferson wrote, the inalienable rights of man are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He was a man who believed in democracy. He believed in the people. He believed in educating the people. So he took that to heart, and that's what he put down in the Declaration. And he said, this is what I believe. And so he founded the Library of Congress. He founded the University of Virginia. It launched his actions because his belief, because this is what he believed in. Alexander Hamilton, despite all the thing that the... would have you believe, he was a greedy, self-ambitious person who believed, who wanted it changed, who wanted the Declaration of Independence changed to read life, liberty, and the pursuit of property. And that's a little different. He believed that property was the making of a man, that this is what, that, that what you held was the making of you. That was his principle. So he founded banks. He founded monetary systems and strict federal laws for guiding the money. In each case, those men took to heart a principle, and they said, this is what I believe. If you believe, for instance, that everybody deserves, just from looking at it, deserves a modicum of deserves your respect, your concern. All right, now you take that idea and you mold it around, and you say, well, not everybody. That SOB in accounting is a real, just a terrible person. And, you know, what about Vlad the Impaler? Not everyone deserves my respect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you modify it and you say, well, all right, this is how principles get formed. You say, I believe that everybody should be given the opportunity of my seeing their best possible side and working with that.
Nice.
So you say that, so that you modify it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes principles come on the fly. I heard two women talking. One of them said, well, yeah, he's really cute, but I just don't mess around with married men. And the other one says, yes, because she says, I just don't want to be the author of all the pain that involves. Simple little principle.
Oh, God.
But the whole deal is that these principles are, they're shortcuts for dealing with
life. Right.
In other words, a situation comes at you. A man comes running at you, and he says, I've got this deal, I've got this idea, and it seems sort of shady. You quickly can fall back on your principles. What do you believe in? What do you want to see happen in this world? And that's what your principles are.
Okay. And then what was the other thing you said?
The other one was character.
Okay, character.
And that's something... we don't talk about character much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in more than a century ago, we used to name ships Endurance, which was done by Ernest Shackleton's. That was the name of his ship when he went off and had to endure for a year.
I love learning history lessons from you because while we're learning about the CEO of yourself, I'm learning so much more about Hamilton.
Yeah.
His first name, Andrew Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Sorry. And so much more. Go ahead. Okay. So character. You're right.
And the whole idea is we don't think about character, but character is that essence of yourself. You say, this is the creation. This is my product. This is what I want to be. I want to be a person who stands up for these principles. I want to be a person who is constantly, who is physically active. I mean, that is a character trait. I want to be a person who is constantly seeking and learning. And I want to be someone who...
Is the character that of your, the CEO of yourself, the character, like you say, I want to be, or is it what people think of you?
That's a very good point.
There is
a chapter called Beggars at Your Door. Oh. Those are all the solicitors that try to tell you what you should be.
Okay, this is very important.
They range from advertisers who want you to put their shaving lotion, their milk in your pantry, their book in your library, their deodorant under your arms. They want you all to do, and or their religion in your heart. They want you to go to take their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, now those are the advertisers, and you can resist them, and there's nothing wrong with what they're advertising, but it's the sheer weight. Today, everybody listening here will probably be subjected to approximately 3,000 persuasive messages throughout various media.
In one day.
And in 1970, by the way, that number was about 700. So that shows you how
God. Yeah, no, it is absolutely true. But I'm so interested in that because, again, if you're going to be taking like an inventory of yourself, like walking around the plant, like you said, I love it, right? Touring the facility. Organizing your staff, you know, getting it all together. Basically, you do have to do these things. And I think it's really important to get to understand yourself.
Right.
You have to figure out who you are in order to improve and be the CEO of yourself, right? By everything you're talking about. So you kind of analyze your principles, your character. All right, hold on. It's already 3:44. We have one quick commercial break here, and then we'll be right back. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. Hope you're enjoying conversation with the author of The CEO of Yourself and also the host of the Art of the CEO radio show. So we'll be right back with you. Thanks for staying with us.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113. Or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Remember, every house can be painted a different color, like yours.
Yes. And actually, I was at a local restaurant today called T-Berry's for lunch. Oh, my God. It's on Main Street, Flemington. And it's so weird. Uh-huh. I actually worked in that building when I was like 18 for like five years, raising in the street. And it was like reminiscing. But now it's a beautiful restaurant, and every room in the old place, like this Hunterdon Chamber beautiful building, is decorated with a different country and with the most
I want to make sure I got this right. Every place you go in becomes beautiful afterward.
I walked into it. I was
my place becomes beautiful after I leave it. No. That's a whole other story.
No, it was beautiful. I'll give a little shout out there to T-Berry's in Flemington, because people have been talking about it forever and ever, but you would love it. We have got to go there. You would love it.
I look forward to it.
So beautiful. Yeah. So anyway.
You meet a better class of people there, I've heard.
The place is packed. I don't know.
Well, if you're there, it must be.
No, I only was there first thing. But anyway. All right. So we were talking about your book, The CEO of Yourself. Mm-hmm. And you were going to tell us about how business kind of simulates life.
Yeah. I think we don't realize how well business works. It has an ancient pedigree. But what I just ask you, next time you're in town, in this town, or next time you're in New York City, I'd walk down the Broadway in New York City, and I looked around, building, 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 and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I look at this building over here, and I say, you know, someone said, hey, Jim, you know what would be a really fun idea? Let's put up a 70-story skyscraper here. I mean, you know, how tough can it be? Let's do it. Well, you know, we'll find some people who know how to build stuff, and we'll get them in there, and we'll make a lot of money. We'll rent it out. It should be really great. And my point is that the whole island is filled with people who had dreams at large.
Incredible. People,
we all have dreams, and we can do things like that, and it's there. But what makes that translates that or morphs or explodes it from dream wish into reality. It is business. And business is sort of the way we get things done. We want an interstate highway system, said President Dwight D. Eisenhower. Well, yes, we do. And it was businesses that built it. And they put it together. And the whole thing about business is that, well, let's supposing we're going to start a little business. And I'm a Paleolithic hunter, and I want more food. And I find obsidian, which is a very good, sharp volcanic glass, and I can make better points with it. So I'm going to start out, I make points, these spearheads, and they're all great, and I show them to you, and I show them to all the clan, and you say, not interested. I don't care. It doesn't matter. So I have failed.
And that happens.
Yeah.
The naysayers on the front round of when you go out for your idea, it's, you know, unless you're like talking to your spouse or something where that they give you that support, that you do get a lot of negative.
Starbucks will never, never, never get off the ground if they ask for $4 for a cup of coffee. I'm sorry, I can't back this business. That's an actual quote.
Yeah.
And the point is...
Did you have someone on your Art of the CEO that actually told you that story? Because every time he tells a story, he literally gets it from the source. And that cracks me up.
Yeah, so I talked to the... I talked to the venture capital firm that didn't fund it.
It's so interesting. Yeah, but they sell for $4 with lines around halfway down the block.
We have a formula. And the whole point is, so what does the guy do? He this happens in every business. And so what is failure in business? And this is what makes business work right here. Here's the key. Failure is a mandate for change. Microsoft came out with Vista. Microsoft comes up with a whole series of really, really bad programs. And they say, don't worry, we're going to fix it the next time. And usually they do, to a certain extent. And so here they are in business, thriving, doing well. And my question to each individual out there is, okay, when you fail, is that a mandate for change? Or is it a time to go back and pat your head and get warmed with scotch? And or both.
Yeah, for sure.
I like both.
Yeah. I like the scotch and the change.
Scotch and change, right. Yes.
I don't lick my paws too much, but right. I want the scotch and the change.
Right. And oh, it really is, this is the, that's one of the marvelous things about business. And we bring, the other thing about business, we are constantly bringing in other people to help us do everything we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
The CEO makes his vision. Here's his vision. And then he translated. You know what Joe Rigby did, who was head of one of the largest utilities in this country? He went out. He developed his vision when he came in from CEO. He was a boy whose father built his house. No one in the family had ever gone past high school. He was a farmhand and ended up being CEO of...
I love those largest stories.
But anyway, this one, what he did... was he took his vision and went around to every one of the 20,000 employees and in middle groups explained the vision to them, took their question, took a whiteboard, wrote it down. In other words, this is what business is all about. People go out and they say, this is what I want. This is what I'm trying to do. I'm building a stoop in my backyard and I want some help with it. And so I call around all my friends. When I made my tea house in the backyard.
I love that tea house.
What I knew about thatching was about as much as some elected officials know about being president. But
Some do, some don't. That's right.
And anyway, the whole idea was I had a big party and I kept inviting people to put in ideas for it. What I did as CEO, I made very specific bits of knowledge I needed and questions I wanted, goals I wanted to have, and so forth. And I brought people in, and in a more organized way than it seemed, had them contribute their best ideas. This is how business works. This is how your own enterprise of you. In the late 40s, a marvelous a woman, Louise Davis, got together a group of people to paddle the Grand Canyon. It had never, before the dam went in,
what?
It had never been done before. She got together some of the top paddlers. Everybody contributed. Someone, one woman on the team made excellent covers for the boats. Another one was one of the best paddlers. He developed new strokes. It was all coming together. And you, in your enterprise, can do that. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely. No, really, the CEO, the art of the CEO radio host, Bart Jackson, has delivered the book, The CEO of Yourself. And he's just telling us all about it. So tell us, you have about a minute and a half left. Would anything else to leave with everybody out there?
A minute and a half left?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
well, first of all, let me say that you can get a copy of the book at bartsbooks.com, BARTSBOOKS.com. You can go there and order your copy. Also, yesterday I began narrating the audio book, so it will soon be out in audio. And you can hear my lovely voice. It's a shame they didn't have anyone of talent to do it, but they had to get
it off. I love your voice. I think it's perfect. And I bet that audio book is really going to be very, very popular, because just like your radio shows, your personality shines through. So when you're reading the book, which I love about reading the book, was that it's just got so much information to help me as the CEO of myself. Mm-hmm. But then with your little comforting, funny sense of humor, charm...
I'll give you one quick story to wrap it all up.
All right, let's hear.
All right. President Andrew Jackson retired, died, and he fought Indians. He fought for democracy. He fought and remade the whole new presidency, fought his whole life long. He died. A reporter came to the Hermitage, his old beloved home, and he knocks on the door, and an old family retainer answers then, says, yes, and he said, I understand the president has died, or President Jackson has died. And he said, yes. And he said, well, do you think your master's going to go to heaven? And the retainer sort of leans back his head and strokes his chin and says, well, who's going to stop him? And may the same be said
of
all of you.
That's great.
May they, when you pay, say, who's going to stop him?
I love it. Yeah, who's going to stop you? Nobody. Okay? So this is Talented People. Bart, thank you so much for coming in again today.
It's so
great.
Dear.
It's the best. I love him. I hope you enjoy when we're together. We have a really good time. But his book is out, The CEO of Yourself. You can watch all of his 250 past episodes of The Art of the CEO Radio by going to The Art of the CEO. And I just want to thank you for watching Talented People today. I'm Jeannie Murphy signing off. Have a great week. And we'll be back again next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
North Korea handed over 55 boxes of bones that it said were the remains of American war dead from the Korean War. It provided a single military dog tag, but no other information. Now the bones will be flown to Hawaii for analysis. There will also be a ceremony that Mike Pence will speak at. Senator Cory Gardner says this is a big win for the United States.
Great that these honored remains are on their way back to the United States. The ceremony today at Honolulu, there are thousands of Americans praying that they may find out that a lost one or a loved one is part of that ceremony today.
Today, the Senate Intelligence Committee held a hearing regarding election meddling and the various social media platforms that are used for some of that meddling. Senator Marco Rubio said we can't just so blame every social media platform.
There are things these folks can be doing to improve the way they operate, no doubt about it. But ultimately, we really should be focused on what's being done.
This is USA Radio News.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-591-9426. That's 800-591-9426. 800-591-9426.
News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. Tangible Investments is the main title sponsor of my show. Many of my fans and listeners tell me they buy gold and collectible coins from a local dealer in their city because they don't know where else to go, or from telemarketers they see on TV because these companies spend millions to advertise. Sadly, the majority of companies that consumers reach out to rely on commissioned salespersons who have limited experience, limited expertise, and no credentials whatsoever. Tangible Investments has been around for 35 years. They build long-term relationships, not one-time sales. They work on the lowest spreads anywhere in the industry, so you always get the best price. Most importantly, the listeners of War Now are guaranteed to deal directly with Mike Bonham, VP of Tangible, and a staff of senior executives with a combined 200 years of experience in precious metals. Get the best prices, the lowest spread, deal with the most credible, experienced experts in the industry, and right now start your tangible relationship.